Isaiah chapter 53 tonight. Going to read just one verse. Chapter 5. It says this. It says, "But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so he could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed." That's the New Living Translation. I want to read it out of King James. "But he was wounded." This is what you're familiar with. "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." Amen?
Amen.
Pray with me. Father, we come before you tonight, God. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can still come to your house and worship your name. Lord, we pray tonight, God, that you will move every distraction, Father. I pray for your anointing, God. Your word is anointed. But God, I pray for your anointing to flow through me, Lord, that I would step out of the way, be an empty vessel, Lord, Father, for you, that you would receive all the glory and all the praise. In your mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Church, it's no secret that the last 2 years we've been living in a crazy time. Amen. Amen. Nobody, that's not a secret kept anywhere. These last 2 years have been chaotic. A fool can even look around and see that the shape this old world is in, and it's jacked up. And as chaotic as this world has been, and as hard and as trying and difficult as these past 2 years have been, folks are looking for a hero. Folks are looking for somebody to come in and save the day. Amen? And a hero is a person to come in and relieve the pain, relieve the stress, relieve the fear. And we all know who a hero is. We know what a definition of a hero is. He's someone who comes in, or nowadays it's a she. It seems like that's what they're pushing. But anyways, a hero is somebody that comes in and saves the day, beats up the bad guys, and restores peace and justice. From Superman to Batman to my favorite, Captain America. There's plenty of heroes to choose from. Or maybe you don't like those comic book heroes, but maybe you like John Wayne, the Duke. Or maybe you like Marshall Dillon.
Pastor,
I know I'd get Pastor on that one. We've all learned that you don't mess with these dudes, amen? If you have any sense of awe. Hollywood is not short of heroes. But church, the world doesn't need another hero. We need the healer.
Yes, sir.
That's why I want to title this message tonight is we need the healer. We need the healer tonight. We need the one that heals the body, spirit, and soul. No matter how great Superman's strength is, and it's pretty strong, and no matter how great Spider-Man and Spidey sense is, if you follow those guys, you know what I'm talking about. Nothing compares to Jesus Christ and his healing power. Nothing compares to the touch of the healer when he heals you, when he heals your body, when he heals your marriage, when he heals your heart. Nothing can compare to the healer. No hero can cause a person that has been strung out on drugs and that has had an encounter with the powerful Jesus and his powerful blood. Nobody can tell me that that can't happen. A hero, just any hero can do that. Only Jesus Christ can do it. Amen?
Yes, sir.
You can't tell me that that doesn't happen. Church, we need the healer. I want to look at three things tonight. Let's look at the body. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. If you don't know where Genesis is, that's the first book. And only chapter 2, you can find it real quick. In the beginning. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says, "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." No one knows the human body like our Creator. Amen?
That's right.
He designed us. He made us.
Yes,
he
sir.
Created us from the time Adam, he pulled him up out of the dust and he breathed air into his nostrils. God knew exactly what he was doing. He is the designer and he knows his creation. Amen? From the moment he breathed the breath of life into Adam's nostrils, and that breath caused his lungs to fill up with oxygen,
yes,
and then caused his heart to begin to beat. God knew then, and he still knows now, the body and how it works.
Yes.
He knows exactly every ounce of your body, every area of your body, he knows exactly how it works.
Yes,
because he created it.
Yes.
So if he knows the body, he knows how to heal it. Amen? And when our body needs a touch, all we need to do is reach out to the healer. He knows exactly what to do, church. The one who wrote the genetic code in the body knows what he's doing.
Come on.
If you've ever studied about the genetic code, and I heard something on the radio, and I meant to write it down in my notes, and time passed, and I didn't get it in there. But it's amazing. If you're into science, it's amazing what the genetic code is.
Yes.
And what it does. It's like a software program running through our body.
Uh-huh.
And the Creator made that and knows that.
Yes, He did.
He knows who you are tonight, church. We live in a sin-fallen world, and because of that, we face sickness and disease and pain and suffering because we live in a fallen world. Amen?
Yes.
And our bodies are mortal, and we feel the pain of this world. Uh-huh. We get sick, we get tired, and we suffer.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we can't be healed tonight, church.
Amen.
That doesn't mean the healer doesn't know what we're going through.
Yes.
That doesn't mean the healer doesn't know when our children have fevers. And He can come down when we pray. And He can touch and heal those fevers in the middle of the night. Or when we're sick with COVID, He can touch and heal us. We don't need no flu shot or any shot like that. The Lord can heal us. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not against that. We don't need that. If we need Jesus,
yes, sir.
He can come in and heal us. We need a touch. We need to reach for the healer.
Yes.
And that's exactly what the woman with the issue of blood did in the New Testament. We find in Luke chapter 8 that there's a story of a woman that for 12 years she suffered.
Uh-huh.
12 years. That's a decade and 2 years.
Yeah.
That's a lot of time. Amen?
It is.
A lot happens in a decade. Check out the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And the fascists, the housing. You could tell there was a lot happened in 10 years. The church, for 12 years, she suffered. She went everywhere she could. She went to every doctor or physician she could, spent all of her money, all of her savings, and still she wasn't healed. She was desperate. She was tired. She was sick. You know how it is when you're sick.
Yeah.
And you can't get anybody. The doctor doesn't know what to do. The physician, whoever it is that you go to, don't know what to do. And they send you to another physician. And they send you to another clinic. And you just continued, and then they continued to take your money. She was in desperation, but she heard about a man called Jesus who was coming along through the crowd. And you know what? She thought to herself, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, I'm using my own imagination a little bit, but she thought to herself, maybe this is the chance.
Yeah.
I've heard about what he's doing. I've heard about this man from Nazareth.
Oh,
and maybe this time, maybe this man can touch me. So she began to make her way through the crowd. And she finally found him. And I don't know, I remember Brother Hewitt preaching a sermon here a while back. Remember we crawled across the stage and demonstrated that that's how she was. And no doubt, maybe that's how she was just to get, because there was a crowd. But she had to get to Jesus. And when she got to Jesus and she reached out, all she had to do was touch the hem of his garment, his clothing. She didn't touch his physical body, but his clothing. And immediately Jesus said, "Who touched me?" No one was willing to raise their hand. They were all scared because they thought Jesus was scolding them, maybe. They didn't know what to do. Peter confessed and said, basically he said, "Lord, what do you mean who touched me? There's crowds all around us. People are pressing in. Anybody could have touched you."
Uh-huh.
But notice what Jesus said in the next verse in 46. He said, Jesus said, golly, I can't even read my own handwriting. And Jesus said, "Somebody had touched me, but I perceived that virtue was gone out of me." Listen to what the New Living Translation says. That was the King James. But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me."
Yeah.
Notice he said, "Somebody deliberately touched me."
Yeah.
Have you deliberately touched Jesus tonight?
Come on.
Have you reached out for Jesus, the healer?
Yeah.
Second of all, the healing virtue. There's healing virtue that flows through Jesus Christ. Amen. He's not just anybody, but he's the healer.
Yeah.
He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes, we are healed.
Healed, yes, sir.
This woman reached out and she touched him. And Jesus knew immediately. He knows immediately when healing virtue flows out from him because he's the healer.
Uh-huh.
And there's nothing that he can't heal. I don't know about you, but when I hear that healing virtue flew out from his body, it makes me want to shout because he's the healer. Jesus has the healing power flowing out of his body. And all you have to do is touch him. All he has to do is touch your body, and the body begins to obey the Creator. Again, let's go back to where he created the body. He commanded it. He knows exactly. He designed it. He's the designer, and he knows how to heal it.
Uh-huh.
Amen?
Amen.
And amen. Fevers break in the name of Jesus. Migraine headaches in the name of Jesus go away. Cancer bows in the name of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
COVID bows in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Dr. Fauci ain't going to be able to cure COVID. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ can heal those that are sick.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for doctors and hospitals and modern medicine. Praise the Lord for men and women who have come up and helped invent this stuff. Praise the Lord for doctors and nurses. But when we need somebody, when the doctors have no answers,
right,
and a nurse can't help us, we turn to Jesus.
Yes.
When you're in the middle of the night and your body is racked with pain and no one can help you, turn your eyes to the healer. Amen?
Look to Jesus.
Last Sunday night, there was a little event called the Super Bowl. And the reason why this Super Bowl rang to me and reminded me is Cincinnati Bengals won the Super Bowl for the first time in 34 years. I'm not a Bengal fan by no means of imagination. But the reason why I'm telling you this is the last time they were in the Super Bowl was 1988. And in 1988, the week of the Super Bowl, a couple weeks before the Super Bowl, by the way, my favorite team was the winner, the 49ers. Just had to get that in there. But that year, I hurt my ankle at school. I don't know what I did to it. It was my right ankle. I walked home. We lived just a block from Northside Elementary in Rogers. And I had hurt my ankle, and I walked home that day, and I couldn't even get my shoe off. It took me like 45 minutes just to walk home. It was just a block away. And so my mom and dad looked at it, and it was swollen up, and my dad ended up taking me to the ER. And the doctors had no idea what was going on. And I have myself and my boys, my dad had this disease called osteochondroma, where we just have bone tumors that grow off our, they're non-cancerous, they just grow off our bones. Anyways, the doctors ended up thinking I broke one of those, but they sent me to a specialist, and I couldn't even walk on this foot. And when I went to the specialist had me rotate my ankle. And out of that, you know, you're supposed to have 100% rotation. I had 10% in my foot. And he told my mom and dad, he said that, I don't know if this boy will ever walk again. And I don't know what's going on. And we're going to keep him off of that foot so for the next month. So I couldn't walk on it. So that's why I remember that Super Bowl. I was sitting there watching that. But my point is, 2 weeks later, I remember where I was at. It was sometime in January 1988, February 1988, Springtown Pentecostal Church in Springtown, Arkansas. My dad brought me down to the front of the church and prayed for me. The deacons and the elders came and prayed for me. And I remember going back 2 weeks later to that specialist, and I had went from 10% rotation to 90% rotation. And he told me, he said that you could not walk on that foot, and I want you to go another couple weeks and come back and see me. I came back 2 weeks later, and he told my parents, he said, it's amazing. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. And I ran out of that doctor's office. And he also told my parents that I would have arthritis by the time I was in my 20s in that foot. You know what, church? I've heard it a couple times, being stupid, playing softball and other things, but I don't have any arthritis in that foot. You know why? Because the healer touched me that night in Springtown, Arkansas, when I was 12 years old. I ended up playing baseball that year and everything I wanted to do because the healer touched me.
Yeah.
Amen? That's the point I was going to. If you need healing in your body tonight,
yes, sir,
turn to the healer. Let's look at the spirit tonight. We live in the sin-stricken world. And when we make wrong choices, there's going to be consequences. Amen? When we make the wrong choice, something's going to follow. And we're born into sin. And until we come to the cross and we're reborn in the spirit, we want to follow the flesh. Our spirit wants to follow the flesh. Amen? I mean, it's a battle even when we're a Christian.
Yes.
We have to give in. We either give in to the spirit or we give in to the flesh. Every day, amen? And whatever we feed grows.
Right.
Amen? You feed the spirit man, he's going to grow. You feed the flesh man, he's going to grow. So whatever you feed grows. And even after we're saved, we battle this. But when we're not saved, we're not feeding the spirit man, amen? And we don't know the Lord, we're feeding the flesh.
Yeah.
Full time, 24/7. And when we feed the flesh, we feed it with junk and filth and all kinds of things, and it begins to bind us and chain us and cause us to be bound. Amen?
Yeah,
you know, if you haven't been saved, hopefully you're all saved, but if you've been out in the world and you've tasted the world and seen what the world has to offer, you know what I'm talking about? That you get bound and you get enslaved to sin.
Yes.
And we're left to walk around in chains among the tombs. Does that remind you of anybody?
Yeah.
It reminds me of a man from Gadarenes, amen? Who was bound. The Bible says that his name was Legion because he had so many demons.
Right.
I believe the Legion was 1,000 Roman soldiers. So he had at least 1,000 Roman or demons in his body. And he was bound. The Bible says that the demons would take over and he would begin to rip off his clothes. He'd begin to rip off his chains and he'd begin to act like a wild man. And he would run through the tombs and town couldn't take care of him.
Yeah.
He was bound.
He was bound.
But then one day, Jesus stepped off the boat.
Oh.
Aren't you so glad that Jesus stepped off the boat?
Yes, sir.
Jesus didn't call him over to his revival that he was having in his healing crusade. The Bible says Jesus got on a boat and he went to the land of Gadarenes. And he stepped off the boat and the man met him right there.
Yeah.
The man knew, the demons knew who Jesus was.
Yes, yes, sir.
The demons knew that Jesus was fixing to bring him out.
Yeah.
And he did. Jesus touched him. And those demons began to flee. We know that they went off into some pigs, into a hill. And the man, Bible says, he was in his right mind. The enemy wanted to keep this man bound and chained. But Jesus came on the scene and relinquished him. Amen? Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Things would no longer be the same once this crazy, chained man held by Satan's possession and oppression for years met the healer. When you meet the healer, church, you change.
Amen.
Amen. When your spirit is bound, when you're unsaved, and when you're lost, and when you're out in the world, when you meet the healer, the one that heals your physical body and he heals your spirit, you will be changed. Like Pastor preached this morning, you will no longer be the same,
right.
But you will be different.
Yes,
something
sir.
Will be different about you. You will change once the healer touches you. The chains break, no longer bound to the flesh. Luke 8:35 says, then they went out to see what was done and to Jesus and came to Jesus and bound the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Do you understand what happened? This was a wild man that nobody could contain.
Yeah.
He was a town drunk. He was a town outcast. He was a town demon-possessed man that nobody wanted to touch. That he loved. He roamed the tombs. He lived where dead people live, and nobody wanted anything to do with him until Jesus showed up on the scene, and he healed him. And the Bible says that they found him in his right mind, and it freaked him out. They didn't know what to do. They didn't want any part of it, because Jesus totally turned the situation around. And when he saves a soul that has been lost, church, he can change you and make you whole again. Amen?
Yes.
That's what Jesus does. You see, church, that is what happens when you have an encounter with the healer. When he cleans up your mind and he touches your spirit. Maybe you're a follower of Christ, but Satan has got you and bound you by your past mistakes. And you no longer feel like you're the person who you were.
Come on.
Yes.
You can touch Jesus and let Jesus touch you and he'll set you free. May I suggest to you the healer tonight. Just one touch from the Master and you can be set free. He heals your body, and he heals your spirit. All fears tonight, church, bow at the name of Jesus. Past mistakes, anxiety, regrets, fear will be gone once the healer touches you.
Uh-huh.
Every demon in hell, Satan himself, tremble when the name of Jesus is mentioned. Those demons knew exactly what was happening. They went out to meet Jesus, and in my own imagination, maybe, meant to barter a deal because they knew they were fixing to go over the cliff. Church, when Jesus shows up on the scene, when you reach out to the healer, not only will he heal your physical body, but he'll heal your spirit as well.
Yes.
You can have a life of freedom if you've met the healer tonight. And thirdly, I want to look at the soul. Psalms 23:3 says this. He says, he restored my soul. He led me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We are made up of a body, a spirit, and a soul.
Yes, sir.
1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you have a body, you have a spirit, and you have a soul. He's your physical healer. He's the healer of your spirit.
Yes.
And church tonight, he can save your soul.
Mm-hmm.
One of these days, this old body's going to die. This earth suit is going to give away. Amen?
Amen?
Everybody on this planet is going to go by the way of the grave unless the rapture comes.
Right.
I'd much rather go that way, so I'm praying for that. Amen?
Yeah.
And we may just see that soon.
Yeah.
Soon and very soon.
Amen.
But if we're made of dust, and the Bible says that we're going to return to dust.
Yes,
but our souls will live on and spend eternity. And church, we're going to spend eternity in one of two places.
That's right.
There's only one or two places, heaven or hell. It's our soul that will follow in those two places. It's either going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as we know him as our Lord and Savior, or we're going to hear it depart from you.
Yes.
And we're going to enter a place of darkness
yeah.
and turmoil called hell. It's our soul that's going to follow. So the soul is the most vital thing that we have. Amen? Our body can be killed. Our spirit can be killed. But our soul will live on. Right. Whether we know the Lord or we don't know the Lord. In one or two places. The body can be destroyed. But the soul lives on. When our soul is lost. When our soul is in turmoil. When our soul is thirsty. When our soul needs a touch. We need the healer to come on the scene.
Yes.
We need the one that heals the spirit, body, and the soul to the church. I only know of one that can do that. His name is Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Jeremiah 17:9 says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things, desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Mm-hmm. One of my pet peeves is when you hear it, and you hear it throughout Disney movies, is follow your heart.
Yeah.
Follow your heart. Follow your heart. Church, that's the worst advice you can follow. Because the Bible says, Jeremiah says, your heart is desperately wicked.
Yeah.
And it's going to do what it wants to do, whatever feels good.
Come on.
When our soul is black and so messed up and so entangled in sin, we need the healer to come by. Because our heart on its own will not heal itself. Our heart on its own will not find good or virtue. You see, that's what's wrong with this world today in the cancel culture. Is it seeking for virtue and it's seeking for doing all the right things. And they're canceling this and they're canceling that. And they're trying to get virtuous. But church, the human heart cannot do it on its own. It has to have a touch by the healer. Only the healer can touch a human heart and make you love your brother and sister as yourself. Amen?
Amen.
These people are trying to love their brothers and sisters with their own heart, and they're not going to do it because they're flawed. Right. But tonight, church, when Jesus Christ touches your heart and he heals your soul, you begin to look at your brother and sister and you don't see color. You don't see a shade of skin, but you see a brother and sister that are going to hell if you don't reach in and intervene and teach them about Jesus.
Yes, sir.
That's what the healer will do to you tonight.
Yes.
The most awesome healing that I know of is not physical, even though it's awesome to be touched physically. And then him heal our spirit. The most awesome healing is when he touches our soul.
Amen.
And he heals that wound, that sin. And he takes that heart that is so black and dirty and filthy. And the Bible says in Isaiah that our sins are as filthy rags. And you've seen some filthy rags before. Maybe picture a shop floor with all the oil and dirt when you go out and change your oil in your car. Or maybe the trash. Anybody have the cat or dog go through the trash? You put the trash outside and the dog goes through it, the neighbor dog, and then you have to go out and you have to pick it up. How many likes to do that? Nobody. Amen. I don't either. But that's filthy and dirty. But that's what our heart looked like. And that's what our heart is like without Jesus. But the healer comes in and he takes all that dirt and he takes all that filth and he takes all that blackness and he takes all that sorrow and he begins to put it together and he washes it white with his blood. And he heals the soul. Mm-hmm. Church, we need the healer tonight.
Need the healer.
You need that. The heart needs the healer. He takes a black, rotten, nasty, disgusting, filthy, rag-looking heart. He dips it in his blood and he makes it white as snow. And he washes it. And there's nothing like it. No heart on Valentine's Day that we just celebrated last Monday can compare to the heart that Jesus takes and makes it washed clean.
Amen.
So in closing tonight, this world is full of broken promises. Amen?
Yes, sir.
People have turned to look for something, to anything they can get a hold of, especially these last 2 years. People are hurting. People are looking to any answers they can get a hold of. They're looking for hope.
Amen.
And we as a church, we have what they're looking for.
Yes, sir.
We know the healer tonight.
Right.
You that have been here, I've heard your testimonies. I've heard your healing touch that the Lord has touched you with. And that encourages us. As us, but there's other people out there that need to hear that testimony.
Yes,
there's
sir.
Other people that are looking for an answer tonight, church. They need the healer. We have met the healer tonight. Those of us that are here tonight in church, we've met the healer. We've understood and we've felt him touch us and heal us. We felt him touch our physical body or maybe our spirit. And if we're here tonight and we're saved, he's touched our soul.
Uh-huh.
We've been touched by him. And you've come along too late to tell me that Jesus no longer heals. I'm sorry. I'm thankful that I'm Pentecostal and I believe in healing. Amen? I don't know where I can go to a church that doesn't believe in healing because he's still the healer. The Bible says he's still the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He didn't change.
Amen.
But he's still the same God.
Yeah.
You come along too late to tell me. I've seen him heal people. I've seen him heal me. I've seen him heal marriages. I've seen him heal all kinds of situations. I've seen him put people back perfectly together. And I've also seen him heal somebody perfectly when they go through the grave. We don't realize that sometimes. But when the Lord takes a loved one home, they are healed perfectly. And that's not what we want to hear at that time.
Right.
But he does. That's a perfect healing.
Yeah.
Because he's a perfect God.
Perfect God.
This world doesn't need another hero. It needs the healer.
Yes,
we need the healer, church. Amen. When folks are sick, what do? Some of us try to tough it out like John Wayne sometimes. But when we get real sick, what do? Mm-hmm. We begin to call the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor can't help us. We go to the hospital, the ER, the place where, when what's there? The doctor, the hospital, there's physicians, there's nurses, there's people with care. They're going to try to tackle the situation. They're going to try to fix what's going on. You'll get an x-ray. You'll get whatever it is. They're going to try to figure it out.
Right.
Because that's what they do. Mm-hmm. When you go to the hospital, surgeons are there. Medicines are there to prescribe you a medicine to hopefully heal you. All these options is why we go to a place called a hospital when we're sick. Church, will you stand with me? This world is in a sick, we're in a sick world, and this world is sick. Amen? Just like when you're sick and you got to get relief, you go to the hospital. You go to a place where you can be healed. Tonight, church, the world needs healing. Tonight, the world is looking for a healer, not the hero. Amen?
Right.
They need a healer, not the hero. They're looking for somebody to take away the pain. They're looking for somebody to take away the sickness and the darkness and the turmoil. And you and I tonight, church, we know who that is.
Yes, sir.
We know the answer to that question. That question is easy for us Christians. If we've been touched and we've been healed by him, we know the answer. It's an easy answer. The world doesn't know that. Church, it's time we begin to reach out to that lost and dying world.
Yes,
and we begin to invite him to come into God's house. And we begin to have him come to this place of healing. Because he's the healer.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
We need the healer tonight, church. We pray with me. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are the healer. Lord, that you are the physical healer. Lord, that you are the spiritual healer. And Lord, that you are the healer of my soul, our souls, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you reach down and you save me, Lord, and you save those that are here tonight, Lord, that know you. Father, that you take a broken, black, ugly heart, Lord, and you can make it whole again. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you're still in the healing business, that you haven't gone out of business. COVID, the economy didn't drive you out these last 2 years, but God, you are still in the thriving, healing business.